Well, we are going back to this study that we've been in the midst of, the life of Christ, specifically the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus' longest recorded message, the foundation for his followers. And last week we spoke about this, Jesus on judging. And I want to kind of jump back early on in the his message or the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus made this statement. Let's take a look. I'm going to ask you to turn to Matthew 5. I want to read verse 17 and then pray. And today we're going to be in Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7, verses 6 through 12. And taking a little closer look at what Jesus had to say about making judgment and judgments in life, and what he had to say about that. Let me read this verse. Jesus said, "Don't misunderstand why I have come." He said, "I did not come to abolish the law of Moses or the writings of the prophets. No, I came to accomplish their purpose." We've said in weeks past that God gave the law to his people, and it's called a good thing to show mankind, men and women, the course of conduct, what God was looking for in his creation. And if you're a parent, you know that you don't just tell your kids growing up, hey, just do whatever you want to do. Every household has got its own code of conduct, its own rules. And parents kind of hash it out with their kids and work on it. But you as a parent, you know what you want your children to do. And Jesus, he said, "I have come not to abolish what Moses had to say, but," he said, "I've come to accomplish the purpose and to reestablish what the Father wanted his people to pay attention to." The concepts that Jesus taught, specifically here in this Sermon on the Mount, were intended to help his followers accomplish God's purposes, to lay the foundation for future followers as well. And that is why it's important for us to try to understand them, and why it's important for us to take them on in our own lives, to try to apply what Jesus had to say. If you don't care about what Jesus had to say, then this has no bearing. You know, you probably got better things to do than to come and sit here and listen to this. But if your heart beats to honor God and to acknowledge Jesus as Lord of your life, then this has great bearing. And that's why we're talking about it and taking this time. So let's bow our heads, let's pray one more time and ask God to speak to our hearts regarding his word. Father, thank you for your great love for us. Lord, thank you for our very existence. And we also, Lord, are grateful for your promises that you've given to mankind, forgiveness, eternal life, encouragement and direction in our lives while we're living here. Please help us to pay attention to it, Lord, and to benefit from it. And please speak to hearts this morning. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So last week we spoke about what Jesus had to say about judging. We're in chapter 7 of Matthew, verses 1 through 5. And the very first verse there, if you got your Bibles turned, you can see it on the screen here as well. Jesus said, "Do not judge others and you will not be judged." Now, this may be the most popular verse that non-believers remember and quote, probably more than any other verse in the Bible. Although it's quoted, but it's not thoroughly understood. Some take it to mean that we have no right to evaluate or identify or differentiate the ideas and the opinions and the actions of other people. As I said earlier, you know, what parent growing up children say to their children, doesn't matter what you do, just do whatever you want to do. I don't know of many homes like that. Certainly our home was not like that. And the home I grew up in wasn't like that. And I can say as a 62-year-old guy that I'm glad that there was a direction that my mom and dad determined to head us off in. And I will tell you, we didn't always go in the direction that they pointed out. You know, as I've gotten older, I've realized the wisdom of many of the things they said. But in, there are those that would say, well, we have no basis to conclude that another person's behavior or decisions or lifestyle is morally wrong. In fact, you might hear someone say, maybe you've had, your own Bible says, do not judge others. But friends, in this passage right here, Jesus in fact says, differentiate, identify. In fact, he uses the word three times in this same sermon here. I'm going to ask Robert if you'd bring up verses 16 of Matthew 7 and verse 20. Now, this is specifically about teachers, what are called false prophets, people who come and say, I got a message from God. And they say, you got to listen to what I'm saying. This is from God. And Jesus said, don't just take on everybody who says they got something from God, because false prophets are out there. People who lie about God are out there. Here's what he says in verse 16. He says, you can what? Identify them by their fruit, that is, by the way they what? Act. Robert, could you go to verse 20 as well in the same chapter? He ends us up saying, yes, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, so you can identify people by their actions. Now, as we said last week, we must make judgments regarding ideas, opinions, people, and things. And that makes sense. Stay with me on this. Because not all ideas and opinions are equally valid. Would you agree with that? Not every idea out there should be given the same weight as other ideas. And sadly, not all people are equally trustworthy. Anybody here had some experience with that? Not everybody you meet out on the street and in your life is as equally trustworthy as others. And so you and I have to differentiate. Are you with me on that? We understand that? So not every opinion, not every idea, and not even every person is equally trustworthy. And not all things are beneficial for us. We have to differentiate. And this verse certainly is not saying, you know, it doesn't matter what in the world you do. None of it matters. We are to differentiate. And in fact, another one of the verses in the passage today, there is some very specific differentiation we're going to talk about. But I remember this from last week, and I want to read it for you. This is a reminder to believers, to Christians. The good news of God's mercy and his grace, would you agree with me that we are undeserving of it? That is because God doesn't owe us, but he, in his mercy, is willing to forgive us for our faults and failures. And we welcome it. But that should not render us incapable of determining and differentiating that between that which is good and evil, or right from wrong, or that which is beneficial from that which is destructive. You know, I was thinking about it. The grace of God covers our sin, but it is not a cover for sin. And that's the attitude some folks have taken. They said, well, you know, don't say a word about what I think, what I do, because the Bible says not to judge. Now, that's where we got into it. Jesus, I believe, was saying here, look, you've got to make judgments, but make sure you do not become condemning in your differentiation between what you believe is right and wrong. And recognize that there is an ultimate judge, and that is God. The Bible says we will all stand and give account before him. And we are not the ultimate judge. Now, that doesn't mean we cannot make decisions about the course of our life and what we're going to believe in and what we're going to follow. So we are told to consider how we go about judging. We recognize you cannot go through life without making judgment. It's just a fact. But we can certainly watch how we do make judgment in our lives. We said two things last week, and I just briefly want to touch on them because I think it's important. Jesus said, first of all, to watch your attitude, not to allow discernment and identification and differentiation to become dismissive, judgmental condemnation, becoming too fond of criticizing. Anybody ever met somebody like that that just seems like they just loved criticizing everybody else and picking out other people's weaknesses? By the way, do we all have faults and weaknesses here? We better get that straight, every single one of us. And that's why we revel and roll around in the grace of God, because we know what we are. Remember somebody saying years ago, there's not a more, quote, innocent-looking group of people in the world than church people on Sunday morning. But don't believe it for a minute. We know what we are. God certainly knows what we are. We're grateful for his forgiveness and his mercy. So in our judgment, we are to watch our attitude. You want to know what that looks like? I want to ask you to turn to Luke 18 and verses 9 through 14. Jesus was talking about two men who went down to the temple to pray. One was judgmental. One was condemning. One was evidently putting himself where only God occupies. And let's read about it here in Luke 18, verses 9 through 14. Jesus told this story to some who had great confidence in their own righteousness and what? And scorned everyone else. The context of this is the Pharisees, who you've heard very much about, no doubt, if you've been in church, were a committed group of people who wanted to honor God. And they established their own righteousness. They did something that is called fencing the law. You had the law of God right here. Don't thou shalt not, thou shalt. What they did, they said, so we don't get close to going against God's law. We're making a new set of laws, as if you put a fence around it. And they set that up as righteousness. And what happened was that they did those things scrupulously. But Jesus said, you're missing the bigger points here. Mercy and justice. And so Jesus tells a story about two men who went to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee. The other was a despised tax collector. Now, I've talked about it before when we were studying the disciples. Matthew was one of those guys. They were hated. They were turncoats to their own people because they joined in with the Romans, who were the occupiers, and collected money for Rome from their own people. So when it says they were a despised tax collector, they knew exactly what that was talking about. The Pharisee stood by himself and prayed this prayer. Thank you, God, that I am not a sinner like everyone else. For I don't cheat, I don't sin, and I don't commit adultery. I'm certainly not like that tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I give you a tenth of my income. But the tax collector stood at a distance and dared not even to lift his eyes to heaven as he prayed. Instead, he beat his chest in sorrow, saying, O God, be merciful to me, for I am a sinner. And Jesus said, I'm going to tell you who went back to their house justified, made right. It's not the guy you might think that was a dismissive, judgmental, condemning person. So I want to read you another passage as well. Let's turn to Romans 14. And verses 10 through 13, Romans chapter 14, verses 10 through 13, Paul, the apostle, was writing to some believers, and there was some judgment going on, some condemnation. They had differentiated. There were people who were saying, hey, I don't think that's right, and I'm not going to do that. I don't think that's honoring to God. Some of them were arguing about the food they ate, because Jewish people would never eat any food that had been once offered to the Gentile gods and goddesses that surrounded them. The Gentile people growing up, they weren't concerned about that. They knew who God was, so they could eat that stuff, no problem. Some worshiped on a certain day of the week and others a different day, and they argued about that. So let's take a look here, verse 10 of Romans 14. So why do you condemn another believer? Why do you look down on another believer? Remember, we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For the scripture says, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bend to me and every tongue will confess and give praise to God. Yes, each of us will give a personal account to God. So let's stop condemning each other. And here's where it really, really gets practical for us as well. Decide instead to live in such a way that you will not cause another believer to stumble and fall. You know, we need to ask ourselves, am I going about my life as a follower of Christ that may cause another believer to be discouraged? Or are my actions causing another believer to be led into what is not pleasing to God? Those are the questions we should be looking at and not busy checking everybody else's business out. All right? So Jesus says, watch your attitude. You know, do not put yourself in the place of a magistrate, a judge. Their job was given by God to help all the communities of God's people to be well organized and to be a place where you'd want to live. By the way, how many of you would like to live in Martin County where there were no rules whatsoever? Some of you may say, that sounds pretty good to me. So that means if your neighbor wanted some of your stuff, they could just come over and take it. Maybe, maybe not. You might be able to deal with that, but maybe you might not be able to. So the law of God we recognize and how he organized, how he wanted his people to operate is good for us. We don't always do it right. Oftentimes we make a huge mess of it, but it's what he wanted for us. So Jesus said, watch your attitude. He said, also watch out for hypocrisy. When we readily identify wrong in others, but we cannot and will not see it in ourselves, what do we call that? That's called hypocrisy. It's what Jesus called it, hypocrisy. And he said, watch out for that. He went on to say in this same passage, you know, you can't say to your friend very easily, hey, let me help you get the speck out of your eye if you've got a log or a plank in your own eye. And this is not a rationale for indifference on our part or disengagement. Basically saying, well, I'll just let people walk off a cliff and not say a thing when maybe I can say something. It's not what it is advocating. But what he's saying is our own faults can get in the way of us being able to help someone else remove that speck from their eye. That kind of work requires integrity, humility, and a hand steadied by sincere affection. And so it's very important. Let's go now to our passage today, verses 6 through 12. And I'm going to read through these verses, and then we're going to take a look at these because Jesus has something more to say about judgment and making judgment in our own lives. And he gave this to his followers. Verse 6, don't waste what is holy on people who are unholy. Don't throw your pearls to pigs. They will trample the pearls, then turn and attack you. Keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and to everyone who knocks the door will be opened. You parents, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? Now this next verse, I'm going to guess most everybody here has heard this. Look at verse 12. It's called the Golden Rule. Do to others what you would like them to do to you. This is the essence of all that is taught in the Law and the Prophets. So we've read these verses, and seemingly, these verses seem like separate and not connected to the previous subject. What was the subject we've been talking about? Anybody here with me? About judging, about making judgment in this life. How to determine what is good. How to determine what is not so good. How to determine what is bad for us. And so we're talking about judgment, and seemingly these verses are not connected, but I would make the suggestion that in fact they are connected. In the book of Luke, these verses are also recorded, and they're recorded specifically about prayer. But these are connected to this very passage speaking about judgment, and I think they apply. Jesus had just finished telling the disciples to watch their attitude regarding judgment and to make sure that they were not being hypocrites themselves. But you know what he said? At the same time, discernment is needed, and that requires judgment as well. Do you know, friends, some people aren't going to value what you're bringing to them? There are people in your lives, in your families, maybe where you work, that you have a desire to bring them some spiritual truth, and they're just not interested. So Jesus said, don't throw your pearls to pigs. You know, if you think about it, and I was reading about this, pearls that we see around a lot, and this time, They were a highly prized commodity. They came from a place called Ceylon, off the tip of India. And so if they made their way to Palestine, the Holy Land, you know that they were a valued item. And Jesus said, look, you would not take pearls and throw them out to pigs. Okay? If pigs take a look at a pearl, they're not able to differentiate, this is worth a lot of money. I better tuck it in my little piggy pouch. Instead, they may snort around on it, taste it, and just walk on top of it and press it into the mud. And by the time they figure it out, you're not giving them anything good to eat. You know what it says? They may turn around and attack you. So what's that saying? What is that saying? Don't force the treasures of God's wisdom on people who refuse to value it. Practically, in our lives, every week we talk about this, the importance of us living out and giving out God's truths. That's what we need to be about. But be wise. Don't waste your time on those who don't really want to hear about it, or those who simply just want to argue with you. You know what it means? Use some discernment. Don't force it. You know, I know of folks who want to push God's kingdom forward, but they pester people half to death. And when someone sees them coming, all they want to do is run the other way. Simply use some discernment and ask God to soften people's hearts. I'm going to tell you, in the course of the years I've been a follower of Jesus, I've had a heart to talk to people. And there are some folks, when I've spoken to them, this was years ago, they didn't want to hear a word of what I had to say. And I'm going to tell you, one of them sitting in this church today, he's got his hand raised. I wasn't going to say who it was. But I will tell you, friends, listen to this. The circumstances of life have a way of changing our outlook. There are some people who are hardened to God and the truths of God today. And just be wise. You know, make it available. Don't try to force it. Jesus said, look, don't do that. Use some discernment. Not now. I got it. Maybe you're just not ready for this. But if and when you are, I can tell you about something that will give your heart peace as you face whatever you're going through. So I want to tell you this too, and I'm not going to, for time's sake, if you've got your Bibles and you're making notes, Luke chapter 23, verses 8 through 11. Jesus was arrested and brought before the Roman leader Pilate for judgment. He was being judged. They called him a troubler. They said he's just causing problems. And so when Pilate found out that Jesus was from Galilee, he said, hey, I'm going to send him to Herod. Let him figure out what to do with him. And so he sent him to Herod. You know what Herod? All Herod wanted to do, you can read it there, I want to see him do a miracle. That's all I want. I want to see him do a miracle. And then you can read, it said he asked Jesus all kinds of questions. You know what it says there? Jesus refused to answer them. Refused to answer them. He didn't play the game. And you know, friends, in your lives, sometimes you can get drawn into all kinds of arguments. If somebody's heart is just not there, don't force it. Pray instead. I want to look at two passages from Proverbs. Proverbs 15 and verse 23. And I'm just going to put a plug in here for the book of Proverbs. And I want to encourage you as a church to read the Proverbs. And first of all, get a translation that you can actually understand. Maybe, I know some, my mom loves the King James. She's, you know, had it for her whole life. And it's very dear to her. But if you're struggling to understand what it's saying, get a translation that's understandable. This that we use is called the New Living Translation, NLT. If you get on the internet or you go to a bookstore, The Message is another one. And you know there's 31 of them, and you can read one for each day of the month. The wisdom that you will gain is astounding. But let's take a look at this. Proverbs 15:23. It says, everyone enjoys a fitting reply. It is wonderful to say the right thing, what? At the right time. Somebody said something earlier today, timing is everything. And, you know, sometimes we get it wrong. And look, God knows our hearts. We're not going to always figure it out just when we ought to say it. But what he's saying is use some discretion. Let me read another Proverbs. This is a little more blunt. Proverbs 23 and verse 9. Don't waste your breath on fools, for they will despise the wisest advice. They used to have a saying in the island where we lived, and it was this: Mista does not take telling. Mista does not take telling. You know what that means, translated? You can't tell that guy anything. You could bring some wisdom to, but they're not ready for it. And to try to force it is not necessary. Exercising judgment is important in our lives. We recognize that. And Jesus, as I read these verses, does not seem to be saying anything goes. It's not what he's saying. He is saying when you have to make judgment, make sure you don't put yourself in the magistrate seat. That's God's the ultimate judge. And as you do, do not come to where you become dismissive and condemning in your judgment. And don't be a hypocrite. But use some discretion and know when to say and when not to say, what to say and what not to say. Well, let's look at verses 7 through 11. He says this: keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who seeks finds, and to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. You know, these verses are often included when people teach about praying, specifically persistence in praying. Not just giving up after a few half-hearted efforts, but being persistent and saying, God, this is on my heart. And it seems like a change in subject from the matter of judgment, but not necessarily. Jesus is referring his disciples to prayer. When you don't know what to do, ask God and keep on asking him. Seek God and keep on seeking him. Knock and keep on knocking. You know, like those disciples, we are human and fallible as well. And we make mistakes. Would you agree with me that our judgment is incomplete? I asked this last week. How many of you ever had your mind made up about something, but then you found out you didn't have all the facts? I asked this question: how many of you charged off to correct some other parent of some child because your kid said their kid did something? And by the time you got there and heard what their parents said your kids did, you tucked your tail between your legs and made your way back home. I've done that. Maybe some of us have as well. So Jesus is referring them to prayer. Ask God to help you to sort it out. And I've got two passages here I want to look at, again in Proverbs chapter 2, verses 3 through 6. Jesus is saying, pray. Keep on praying. Keep on asking God to help you as you got to navigate through life. It gets complicated, doesn't it? Trying to know what to do, how to form opinions on this matter and that matter. Jesus tells his disciples to pray. Here's what Proverbs says: cry out for insight and ask for understanding. Search for them as you would for silver and seek them like hidden treasures. Then you will understand what it means to fear the Lord and you will gain the knowledge of God. Let me read on. For the Lord grants wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He grants a treasure of common sense to the honest. He is a shield to those who walk with integrity. I could keep on reading. Friends, the very Bible you hold in your hands today is a wealth of wisdom and knowledge. If you think about it, your life and your life moving in good directions, you pay attention to what God has to say, and there is a benefit to that. Let me look at another passage. This is in the book of James, chapter 1 and verse 5, also speaking about wisdom. James writes and he says, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. And so we read there about earnestly seeking God and asking him, what should I do in this matter? Look, friends, there are a lot of voices calling out today and telling us what we ought to be doing, what we ought to believe, what our lives ought to be about. We need to ask God for his wisdom about matters. He says this, if you do, the door will be opened to you. And do you know that God is more than willing to help? Now, I know I'm speaking to a number of parents here, and maybe you're growing your kids up as way back in the rearview mirror. But if you think about it, if your children asked you for a necessary item, you were glad to help with it. Now, if your kid asked you for a car and he was 8 years old, there's an answer to that, okay? And the answer is no, by the way. You know, would you give your child a stone if they asked you for bread? Would you give them a snake if they asked you for fish? By the way, those were two staple items. Those were items that people lived on, bread and fish in that region. So it was a necessary item. And you and I care that much for our children, how much more God cares for us in our lives. And when we pray, we are not trying to get God to do what he is unwilling to do, but we're rather becoming engaged in the process. God wants us to be plugged into the matter, and that's why he tells us to pray. And friends, this is a note of caution for us as we read this. This passage is not a suggestion that the disciples would receive anything they asked for, regardless of what it was. Let me ask you this question. Did you give your kids everything they asked for? I didn't. So this is a prayer about praying in God's will, about knowing him, about helping his kingdom take its rightful place, about his will being done on earth, his will being done in our lives, and about him meeting our needs and our sins being forgiven and not yielding to temptation. That was the Lord's Prayer we looked at a couple weeks ago. In verse 11, it says, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? Now let's go to verse 12. Verse 12, we're going to wrap this up. Jesus says this, do to others what you would like them to do to you. The golden rule. Again, some folks and maybe Bible scholars have separated these, but it seems that this is connected very much to this issue of making judgments in our lives. Some mistakenly take this golden rule, do unto others as you would like them to do unto you, as a plan of salvation. They would say, hey, look, when I die, I'm going to heaven because I do unto other people as I want them to do unto me. And I would say to that, you know what? That is a great way to live. But that's not what God says about forgiveness and mercy and atonement for sin. All of the doing good to others as we would like them to do unto us is not enough to pay for our sin. That's what the Bible says. Now, some people mistakenly understand this verse, do unto others as you would like them to do unto you, as the sum total of all Christian teaching. Just disregard everything else that Scripture teaches and just do unto others as you'd like them to do unto you. Now, I'd say that is a great motivation to go through life, and it's a principle that we are called to live by. But friends, it doesn't cover all the bases. There is more that God has for us. This great principle ought to govern our attitudes. Do you agree with that? How many of you like for other people to be good to you, to try their best, even if they don't particularly, you know, like being around you, they still be respectful and treat you right? We like that. We recognize that. This asks us to put ourselves in the place of others. And the key to the right treatment of others can be found in our own feelings. How do I want people to treat me? And what's its basis? You can find the basis for this very thought in Leviticus 19 and verse 18. It says, love your neighbor, what? As yourself. And Jesus restated that when he was asked, what's the most important of God's laws? Remember when the Pharisee came and challenged Jesus and said, what's the most important of all the laws that God's given us? Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and body. He said, the second love your neighbor as yourself. He said, on these two, everything else is based. Everything else hangs on that. So, do unto others. And that carries it just beyond feeling to the place of action. You know, we can feel a lot of things, but it's when we get out and do something about those feelings that really things happen. So how does this relate to judgment, what we're speaking about this morning? If this is applied to our judgment, to how we differentiate between what is good and what is not so good, what is great and what is bad, all of those judgments that we've got to make regarding ideas, opinions, people, things that we go through life, how does that relate to judgment? Do unto others as you would like them to do unto you. If this is applied to our judging, it can keep us from becoming overly critical and condemning. And wasn't that the very thing that Jesus was addressing in verses 1 through 5? Watch your attitude. What you dish out to somebody else, don't be surprised. It's going to come back to you. I think the basis is this. How do I want people to form judgments about me? Would I want them to be merciful? Would I want them to consider? Would I want them to be hypercritical of every failure and every weakness that I had? How do I want people to judge me? And so we ask ourselves that question, and we see that verse that Jesus said, do unto others as you would like them to do unto you. And Jesus went on to say, this is the essence of all that is taught in the law of the prophets. All of what was put out there, the law of Moses and those prophets who came along to really push that message on and to apply that message. You read about them in your Bibles, all of those prophets. Jesus said the essence of that is this very thing, condensed into a summary that even the faultiest memory can keep. How many of your memory is slipping you here in this place? We'll help you get home, okay? Even the faultiest memory can latch onto that. And even a child can understand that. Do unto others as I would want them to do unto me. And do you know that's in some quarters in our society mocked? But I'll tell you this, when it comes right down to it, it's respected and it's appreciated. And those are the very things that Jesus called us to. Last week I told you the story when I began about the lady who was in the airport waiting for her flight. Remember that story? And she sat down in a seat, and a gentleman came along and sat down in a seat, and there was a seat between them. And he took a cookie out of that pack of cookies and ate the thing. And she was just shocked. So she just reached over and grabbed one and ate it too. And continued on until there was one cookie left, and he took and broke it in half. And he ate and handed her the other half. She didn't know what to say, and she was going to say something, but they called for her flight, and she had to get up. And she boarded the plane, and as she boarded the plane, she stuck her hand down in her purse, and what did she find? A package of cookies. We said last week that we need to be careful in our judgment. Sometimes we don't have all of the facts, so be careful, and some humility regarding that. Doesn't mean we shouldn't make judgment and determine what is honoring to God. Remember Paul said, look, don't go around condemning all other believers. Determine that you're not going to give others something to trip themselves over by how you do life. I want to tell you this, and I'm going to pray. I found another story, and I couldn't help but want to read it to you. This is a story of a man driving home late one night, and he picked up a hitchhiker. As they rode along, he began to be suspicious of his passenger. So he checked to see if his wallet was safe in the pocket of his coat that was on the seat between them. It wasn't there. He slammed on the brakes and ordered the hitchhiker to get out. And he said, hand over the wallet immediately. The frightened hitchhiker handed over his billfold, and the gentleman drove off. When he arrived home, he began to tell his wife about the experience, but she interrupted him. And what do you think she told him? John, Did you know you left your wallet at home this morning? Friends, I hope that in these 2 weeks, as we've taken a look at this issue of judging, you know, I think it's interesting that Jesus would commit such a large amount of time and content towards this issue. But I think it points to something. In our lives, it is important that we learn how to make judgment, and we want to honor God in our judgments. But at the same time, realize we don't have it all figured out. Realize that our knowledge is incomplete many times. There is only one who knows it all, and he is the only one qualified to be the ultimate judge. Now, it doesn't mean that you and I have to suspend judgment or think, you know, we said last week, there's no call for us to be so open-minded our brains are falling out. There's not the call for that. We've got some direction. But as we make judgment, that we operate with some humility, that we learn to differentiate and identify and distinguish not even just what is good, but even what is better or best for our lives, and that we would not cause other believers to stumble by our actions and by our attitudes. And that should keep us plenty busy. Would you agree with that? So when you get this said to you at some point in the future, look, you're a Christian. The Bible tells you not to judge. You'll know better. You'll know, hey, I need to make judgment, but I'm going to ask God to help me to make it the way that would honor him. And I'm going to ask God to help me not to be a stinking hypocrite. That's what we need to pray about. Let's all stand, and we're going to pray. Let me ask if you join with me in prayer, and if you're here today, and let me just say this, if you not put your faith in Christ, you don't know forgiveness and mercy, there's not a single person in here who could say we deserve God's love and mercy. We recognize, it's plain, we've all fallen short of the glory of God, and so we welcome his mercy, but that doesn't mean that God just says, well, have at it. He's given us a direction for our lives. He wants us pushing forward his kingdom and his purposes. And so we need to take a good look at these issues. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the direction that we have from it. Lord, help us to be able to differentiate. Lord, to identify, Lord, that which is pleasing to you and that which is not pleasing to you. And Lord, help us to have a heart to honor you by our words, our actions, and our attitudes and motivations. And Lord, we recognize we fail at this. We are so grateful for forgiveness from you. Lord, help us not to presume upon that forgiveness, but Lord, to align our lives with your will. And Lord, I just ask that you'd speak to hearts this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.